Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
You're listening to a recording of a live radio show on NPR News. If you want to listen to us in real time, you can stream our show live weekdays at 9 a.m. Central. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Good morning. You're listening to NPR News. I'm Tiffany Hansen in for Carrie Miller. Coming up in a bit, why are we so bad at apologies? Making them, accepting them, knowing when to apologize, how to apologize. But first, President Trump's former campaign advisor Roger Stone pled not guilty in his arraignment yesterday. What does that mean for Roger Stone? What does it mean for Mueller's investigation? Here with me to talk about all of it is Scott Fredrickson, a former federal prosecutor, independent counsel, and white-collar criminal defense attorney in Washington. Welcome, Scott.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So is the a lot of people are saying that the most salient part of this is that is actually what is left out of the indictment, and that is the direct connection between Stone and the hacking of emails by the Russians. Do you think that's accurate?
Yeah, that's certainly one of the most important takeaways. I mean, we see now more than ever that there is a parallel effort by both the Trump campaign and WikiLeaks to use the hacked emails, hacked by the Russians, for the purpose of damaging the Hillary Clinton campaign. So we certainly see that parallel effort. What we don't know is, was there some knowledge beforehand by the campaign, by the president? Was there some cooperation beforehand, an agreement beforehand? Just using the hacked emails by themselves is not a crime. So that is a major question left unanswered, as is whether Mr. Trump was the person who ordered a campaign official to
Right. I mean, in the indictment, we see that a campaign official was directed, in quotes, by an unnamed person to contact Mr. Stone about WikiLeaks that could damage the Clinton campaign. So are those two words, was directed, you know, the important piece in terms of what Mueller might be able to prove or not prove in terms of a connection?
Well, I think that's a great question. I think it goes to the nub of it. I mean, my sense is that Mueller has a lot more evidence on this. I mean, this is the tantalizing question. Mm. Was that unnamed person President Trump? I mean, it's hard to believe it wouldn't be. He's certainly was the person in charge of his campaign of any significant decisions. But that's one of the tantalizing questions here.
So when Roger Stone went into court yesterday and pled not guilty, I don't think anybody was expecting anything any different than what he did. Is there truth to this going around social media, Saturday Night Live notion that he's just angling for a pardon?
Well, I think that's a real worry by many people on the Hill, in the Senate and the House, that this is exactly what he is angling for and could get. That said, I mean, we've seen this before,
right?
In a similar way with Mr. Manafort. He was exhibited just as much bravado in going to trial over here in the Eastern District and also in D.C. in a federal court, and he ultimately pled guilty, and he has not received a pardon. I suspect his tone, Mr. Stone's approach, is going to change dramatically when he starts facing the cold reality of potential prison sentence.
Well, and we saw the same with Cohen, too, who, you know, pledged his allegiance
right to
Trump for so long. So Roger Stone said he is suffering a legal lynching. My question is, he's made very public his financial difficulties right now. Is that a tactic by Mueller? Is he actually putting him in a pretty good position to give up some more information by getting him on the ropes, so to speak?
You know, I don't see any of this as tactical by Mueller. This is a pretty clear-cut case on reading the indictment of someone who is lying before the House Intelligence Committee, obstructs justice, and then tampers with a witness trying to get him to lie as well. And reading the indictment, this is not a terribly complicated case to prove. Mr. Mueller, if he has the texts and the emails, apart from witnesses, that's a pretty clear-cut case. So I don't see this as tactical as much as a very obvious case to prosecute by Mr. Mueller.
So I want to move to the acting attorney general yesterday, Matthew Whitaker, sort of at the end of his first press conference as acting attorney general, kind of let it slip that he thinks that Mueller is close to the end. Is he the person we should be trusting on that?
Well, you know, no one knows what to think of that statement. It almost seems, as you say, like he let it slip. It seemed almost like an afterthought, and it's obviously a very important statement to suggest that a prosecution is about to finish its investigation, an active prosecution. It's wrong on a number of accounts for him to say that. Should we trust him? Well, apart from a matter of trust, I mean, this is probably the least experienced individual who has held such a high position at the Department of Justice that we've ever had. So I wouldn't put a lot of trust in that statement. There's been all kinds of speculation what that means. I don't see anything happening in terms of wrapping up the investigation soon. This calendar year, yes, matter of months, yeah, most likely. I mean, Mr. Mueller, for instance, in the Stone indictment, he could always turn that over to the U.S. Attorney's Office here in Washington, D.C., as he has done with other matters in the Southern District of New York. But I don't see this wrapping up anytime very soon.
And in theory, he could also bring another indictment against Stone, right? If he found other.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, reading this, my sense is that this is not a last indictment. Mm-hmm. What we are still waiting to see is what the evidence is of the actual conspiracy. And let's just assume there is evidence of a, you know, what's been referred to as collusion, but actual criminal conspiracy with the Russians to affect the election. That's going to be in a separate indictment, in my view, whether the president is named in that or not. And if he is, as an unnamed or co-conspirator otherwise, I think that's still to come.
So you talked a little bit there about Matthew Whitaker's inexperience, but we have William Barr, who next week looks like he's going to get the nomination, the appointment, I should say. How will his appointment affect the Mueller investigation, if at all?
Well, I think the big issue right now, and the only thing holding up his confirmation, which has been delayed another week, precisely because of the concern of the Democrats on the Judiciary Committee over whether he will be forthright about disclosing the Mueller report. And there's a great deal of concern about whether his statements indicate he would not, or whether he would, for instance, defer to invocations of executive privilege brought by the president's attorneys. You know, my suspicions are that I don't think that's where Mr. Barr is going. He's very experienced, former attorney general, you know, mainline type of prosecutor. In his defense, there are certain parts of any report that can't be made public that involve, for instance, federal rule of criminal procedure 6E grand jury material that is confidential by law. There's certain parts of that, certain parts of any prosecution where there is a memorandum prepared for why you prosecute someone or why you don't that is not disclosed. My sense he's not going to use that to try and kill the report. And finally, that report is going to be public. If there was any attempt to do that, I think the House committee would subpoena that. I can think of a few other ways that Mueller could make sure that that report is public. But so that's what's holding up his nomination. I don't think Mr. Barr has an intention to try and deep six this report.
So the other thing I'm wondering about in you're talking about Mueller's reports is, am I correct in saying that he could write an impeachment referral as well? And what does that actually mean, if anything?
Yeah, no, he could definitely take a few different approaches the way he writes this report. The critical piece is the report goes to Mr. Barr for his review, and he has the ability, of course, to review it and potentially edit it or change it. But I think the Mueller report itself could, as I said, it's still going to make its way to the public, whether through the Hill or otherwise. He could definitely write a report that recommends, or I would not say recommend, but lays out the foundation for impeachable offenses, especially if he abides by the DOJ policy that a sitting president cannot be indicted. So he could definitely, and I would expect if the evidence is there, he's going to lay that out in a very factual way.
Scott, we really appreciate your insights and experience with all of this. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
It's my pleasure. Stay warm out there.
Yeah, thank you. Scott Fredrickson is a former federal prosecutor, independent counsel, and white-collar criminal defense attorney in Washington, D.C.
You just heard a recording of a live radio show on NPR News. To add your voice to the discussion, you can call in at 800-242-2828 or tweet us at @CarrieNPR. And if you miss us live, you'll find all our shows by subscribing to this podcast. You can send us your questions or comments by emailing talk@npr.org.